You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
We should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about, that means blown about, with every wind of doctrine that comes through town. By the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting they involve themselves in, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So Jesus is the root and ground of your most holy faith. So listen to what he says, go on, grow up, and grow in to Jesus.
The Bible always warns against false prophets for good reason. Nothing will pull you away from God more swiftly than false doctrine. Today, Pastor Jeff encourages you to remain vigilant for deceitful doctrines and ensure your foundation remains rooted in God's Word. Guard your heart and mind against the allure of deceptive teachings because they will lead you astray. Stay steadfast in discerning truth from falsehood, relying on the wisdom and guidance found within God's Word. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Jude as he begins his message. But you, beloved.
On the radio, I was hosting, but what we do, we're on To Every Man an Answer. It's a Bible call-in question program, and we field questions from all over America. There's no delay, there's no pause. Whatever the question is, we got to know something, right? So you really, really depend on the Holy Spirit. So a lady called, and she started saying that 1 John taught sinless perfection, meaning that Christians can get to the place where you never sin anymore. It's called sinless perfection. You never sin anymore. So she said, that's what it teaches, and that's what we're supposed to walk in. So we asked her, well, do you ever sin? No, I don't. So we started answering her that, no, the Bible doesn't teach that, and she hung up on us. And I said, well, there that went. No, you're no longer sinlessly perfect because you got mad and hung up on us. Poof, out went the testimony, right in front of the whole country. How many of you have sinned this year and you needed God to forgive you? Well, I just want to know if I'm talking to real human beings, because if you haven't sinned in a whole year, I want to talk to you and meet you, and I want you to lay hands on me. I want some of what you got. No. All right. Last time we closed with Jude, who, remember, was the half-brother of Jesus. Jesus didn't have any full brothers, understood, right? Because only Jesus had God as his heavenly father. So all the children Joseph and Mary had were half-siblings to Jesus, because Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. But Jude was a half-brother. And Jude is addressing the return of Christ. We closed out last time with 10,000 of his saints to judge the world. That's talking about the second advent, the second coming of Jesus. And what an awesome, solemn event that will be when he returns and all the armies, all the hosts of the redeemed with him. And that would be you and me. You really believe that, Jeff? Yes, I believe that. Of course I believe that. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe he rose from the dead. Yes. You know, you can't beat that, all right? So remember, the book of Jude is all about, Jude began the letter by saying, I was going to write you about one thing. I was going to write to you and expound upon our common salvation. That's Jude 1:1 and 1:2. It's only one chapter. But then he said, but then, I'm paraphrasing, the Holy Spirit moved on me. And I was taken in a totally different direction. And I want to address you about apostasy. I want to address you about what's happening. Now, I'm talking about in Jude's time, he was seeing people apostatize from the faith. So I want to talk to you about apostasy that is galloping in our day. And I want to talk to you about apostates, who they really are, how they worm their way into fellowships, how they affect genuine believers, how toxic they can be, and how they're not like a backslider. A backslider is a true believer that goes off into some kind of sin. Galatians 6:1, is any My brethren, is any among you overtaken in a fault or a sin? Let you who are spiritual restore such a one. So that's somebody that trips up and backslides. They may go back into the world. They get caught up into some sin they stumble over. And the whole attitude of the church towards them is to be to restore them. That's not apostasy. I this week watched a YouTube of a former pastor of a megachurch. No matter who, I'm not going to give you a name, don't want you looking, but he decided that he was done with Jesus. And he genuinely apostatized. He said, I'm done with it. I don't want anything to do with it. I renounce it. And he declared himself an atheist. Megachurch pastor. Right? That's not backsliding. That's apostasy. You see the difference? It's when you renounce and denounce Christ thoroughly. I want nothing to do with him. I'm done with it. I don't believe it. I don't embrace it. I don't accept it. It's not true. I'm out of here. That's apostasy. That's the kind of person Jude is addressing in this letter. So we've watched him comparing apostates to various things, clouds without rain and so on and so forth. Jude now turns his attention, after dealing with the apostates for the first 19 verses, he now comes to verse 20, and he's going to address you and me, those who genuinely love Jesus. Is that anybody here tonight? Those who genuinely love Jesus, all right? He says, now let me just turn my attention now away from the apostates, and I'm going to talk to the real church, okay, that love Jesus and want to grow in him. And picking it up in verse 18, he begins with an exhortation consisting of four verbs. So I was wrong. The first 17 verses were about the apostates. Picking it up in verse 18, he's going to exhort you and me with four verbs. Here they are. Say them with me. Building, praying, keeping, and looking. He says, let me talk to the real believers walking with the Lord. And I'm going to exhort you to those four things. So let's start verse 20. But you, beloved, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. You, beloved. Now listen to the word. Here it is. Here's the verb. Building yourselves up. Who's doing the building? Who's building themselves up? You are. You're building yourself up. On what? Your most holy faith. He says, first of all, you beloved who are going on with the Lord, not apostatizing, you're going on. You be sure that you put your faith towards building yourself up on your most holy faith. In light of all the apostasy swirling about you, he's telling these believers, the godlessness of the fallen culture, the wickedness of fallen men, and the viciousness of an angry devil, he says, set your focus on building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Notice, it's not somebody else doing it for you. It's you and I taking the responsibility to build ourselves up. Build ourselves up. Amen? Now, the word build here is used of building a structure on a foundation that's already laid. Paul the Apostle talks about this very thing in 1 Corinthians 3:9. Listen to what he said. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So what do you do with a field? You sow onto it. What do you do with a building? You build on top of it. So he's saying you're a field that is sown on and you're a building that is built on. That he compares you and me to those two things. And he says, according to the grace of God that was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Another builds on it. But let each one take heed. Watch out. Be very careful how you build on the foundation laid. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, when you and I got saved, we responded to the gospel of Christ. Amen? And when we responded to the gospel, we were saved. So the foundation was laid right then and there. The foundation was Christ. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So by grace we were saved through faith. So the foundation that was laid was belief in Jesus Christ. All right? Jesus is my foundation. Amen? He's the foundation. I believe in him. Believe he is who he said he was. I believe he's coming back. I believe he's the only way to heaven. I believe he's the only begotten Son of God. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he rose from the dead. The foundation, and Paul said, you can't lay any other one that's any good one but Jesus Christ. So he says, but now that I've laid the foundation as the Apostle Paul, who was preaching the gospel, now you and whoever you allow to build on it are building on it. So there's a foundation, and a foundation is only laid so you can build something on it. So he says, you are God's building, and the building begins with a foundation. Paul says the only true foundation is Christ. That's the only one. And the redemption purchased through his shed blood. If we build our lives upon any other foundation, it's a foundation of sand. Remember Jesus' end of Sermon on the Mount? He who built on the sand, the rains fell, the winds blew, the floods beat on that house, and it fell. This week, it was really sad. I'm watching this newscast where this terrible flooding happened. I forget where it was. These waters that have become torrents, and they are ripping past these beautiful houses that had been built along this river, I guess for the view. But these floodwaters went so high, they began to eat away at what was below this one beautiful two-story plantation-looking white house that was just beautiful. And all of a sudden, the whole thing collapsed into the water. The whole thing, it just folded like an accordion and collapsed into the water. The whole house and everything in it. And you're hearing all these people that are filming it going, oh, oh, oh. And I thought of what Jesus said. If you build your life on anything other than his teachings, one day the wind is going to blow and the rain is going to fall and the floods are going to beat on the house that you have built on a foundation that is of sand. It's not of Christ. And no matter how beautiful it is, because this house was beautiful, the whole thing folded and collapsed because the foundation was not good. Amen? Amen? So Paul says, let each one take heed how he builds on it. NLT puts it this way, whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Once the foundation is laid, you're going to build something on top of it because you got a life to build. All right, you're going to build something on top of it. You're going to order your life around, watch this, a set of principles, truths, beliefs, a value system, and so on and so forth. Every house, every life has a foundation. It's either sand or rock. It's Christ or it's something else. And on that foundation, you build. You build principles, truths, value systems that guide your life and all of your decisions. Whatever your value system is, every decision you make flows through that value system. Whatever you value, do you value Christ? Do you value the world? Do you value worldly thinking? Do you value biblical thinking? What do you value? Do you value relationships? Do you value whatever your value systems are, your morality, your ethics, how you do life, what you value, every decision you and I make is going to flow through that value system. And the value system is whatever you've built on the foundation. So where do you get your values? Where do I get my values? I do my very best that every value I embrace comes from the Bible. But the world is always trying to foist on you and me its values. And I'm going to tell you, don't do it, because that is coming down. Okay. The danger is you can start right and build wrong. This is what happened to the Galatians. Remember when Paul writes to them? He says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Okay, the different gospel is they were mixing Old Testament, Mosaic, Judaism with New Testament truth. You got to follow Moses and Jesus. Paul called that a different gospel. You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, you're now being made perfect by the flesh, by obeying the law, by coming back under Moses? No. In other words, the foundation of Christ had been laid in their soul, but they were building now on top of it wrong. Toothpicks, not bricks. Amen. You don't mix law and grace. By grace you are saved through faith alone. Saved by grace through faith alone. I can't add one thing to it, can't take anything from it. I got to take it like it is. It's all a gift. Amen? Now watch Paul. And when we read this, I can think of a lot of Christians I've known through the years I could say this to. You ran well. You were doing great. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who in the world got into your brain, all right, and convinced you to pick another route, another path? Who did this? How'd you stumble like this? That's what he's asking. And that's why Jude says we got to be very careful to build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Be sure that what you add to the foundation is from the Bible. Now, there's a thought. Not Oprah, not Dr. Phil. No, the Bible. That's my instruction manual for living. I don't need anything else. I really don't need anything else for truth, philosophy, theology, integrity, ethics, morality, nothing. The Bible. That's it. So having begun in Christ, we got to go on in Christ. And this is the constant refrain of Scripture. Hebrews says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity. Peter says, you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow, everybody say grow. Listen to the verbiage, let us go on, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what do you build on top of the foundation? You build Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 4, listen to this. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about. That means blown about with every wind of doctrine that comes through town. By the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting they involve themselves in, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So Jesus is the root and ground of your most holy faith. So listen to what he says, go on, grow up, and grow in to Jesus. So let me ask you, every day, what bricks are you adding to your house of faith on top of the foundation that is Christ? What bricks are you adding, and how are you adding them? Because if you don't build on top of your foundation, the world will do it for you. So we got to be very aggressive and intentional about this. So every day, I grab some bricks straight out of the Bible. I go through, you can do this if you want or not, but I go through the Bible every year, and every morning, I just bow before God. I'm so thankful for the Word. I cherish the Word. I cherish the Bible. It's God's Word, and I cherish it. And so what do? I read my reading for the day, and when I'm doing it, I'm putting bricks on the house. And they are solid bricks, strong mortar, the mortar of grace and faith. And I build that house into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay? If you're not doing it, Something else is building on your house. So building is the first word. Then Jude says praying. Everybody say praying. In the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not necessarily talking about praying in an unknown language, although that can be part of it. But that is not the initial gist of it, the meaning of it. He's saying we pray in the Spirit's strength, in His wisdom. He moves our hearts. He directs our petitions. He places on our hearts what to pray for. Because we got to remember, the Holy Spirit that lives in every believer is a praying Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a praying Holy Spirit. Amen? The Bible says the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Groanings. That's not talking about tongues, although it can be, but it's not talking about tongues. It's saying He's moving down. The Holy Spirit knows what you and I need. Paul, in another place in Corinthians, says, who knows a man but the Spirit that is in a man? So what does the Holy Spirit know? He knows your deepest needs and mine. He knows what we need better than we know what we need. Because who knows a man better than the Spirit that lives in the man? And the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings too deep for words. Jesus is praying for you and me. Amen? Remember, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have returned to me, you will strengthen the brethren. So Peter, or Jesus saw the whole thing that was about to go down with Peter, the attack of Satan on his life. He said, Peter, I see what Satan's about to do. I'm not going to stop him from doing it, but I'm going to pray you survive it and thrive after it. So I prayed for you that even though you miserably fail, you will come back and it will not knock you out of the race. I'm praying for you. Same thing, same idea. Holy Spirit prays for you and me. Who knows what He prayed for us today? Why are you here tonight? How are you here on a Wednesday night when it's 150 out? How are you here on a Wednesday night? How are you still growing? Because how many times has the devil knocked you down and you thought, this is it for me, but here you are again. And you're still walking, still seeking, still praying, still reading, still growing. How'd that happen? Holy Ghost prayed for you. The more we allow Him to guide us in our praying, the more we will pray, and the more effective our prayers will be. And you know, let me say this about prayer. It's not twisting God's arm to do what we want Him to do. It's not manipulating God, but real praying is praying according to His will. If we pray according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions we've requested from Him. When somebody says to you, well, praying according to that, saying, if it be thy will, O Lord, when you hear somebody say that's not a prayer of faith, you tell them they don't know the Bible. Because even Jesus said, pray after this manner, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not a lack of prayer. It's total trust and total faith to say to God, if it's your will, I trust you, bring it to pass. And it's one of the most powerful weapons in our arsenal, contending for the faith, fighting for the faith, standing for the faith, defending the faith.
In the face of life storms, Pastor Jeff offered an alternative to navigating life's problems. If you desire an unwavering and relentless foundation through the fiercest challenges, surrender your everything to the Lord. Picture your life as a castle anchored in the bedrock of His promises. As the winds howl and the waters rise, your foundation will remain steadfast, built upon the unshakable rock of God's love and grace. Find security and resilience in God's embrace.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jeff Wickwire here from Hardwired, heard on this station. I'm so thrilled to share our latest gift of the month with you, the Stand Strong Men's Paperback Journal. This beautiful journal is a powerful way to keep track of what God speaks to you from day to day. For any donation of over $25, this journal will be yours. Just visit hardwired.org today, Click Donate Now and make your donation to receive this inspiring journal. Thank you for all your support of Hardwired.
Do you value what the world values? Do you want to invest in something that will last beyond this life? In his following message, Pastor Jeff illustrates that amidst the relentless imposition of worldly values, keep turning to the Lord and let His promises be your guiding light. Imagine your heart as a compass, continually recalibrating to true north, God's grace. The world may try to sway you, but like a sturdy ship in turbulent waters, anchor your convictions in the promises of God. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hardwired.org. Join us next time to continue our study in the book of Jude, right here on Hardwired.